Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. My name is Caleb, and you're listening to episode number 32 of Hardwick Sound. Today, we have some very special things lined up for you, but first, allow me to introduce you to my beloved brothers. Let's start with Seth. This is my younger brother, Seth Hardwick, or as I call him, the Human Spatula.
I have nothing to say to that.
Well, even if you did, there's no time because we got to move on to talk about Noah. This is my older brother, Noah Hardwick, or he's better known as the Life Quacker. What do you think about that?
It's better than the Human Spatula.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes when you're trying to think of a nickname for somebody, you just kind of got to go with whatever comes to mind when you picture that person in your head.
Well, that's nice to know that's how you picture Seth.
Anyway.
I don't think I want to know how you picture me.
The fun part, when I pictured you, I thought, Noah, he's like life hacker, but he in the duck, so he's a life quacker. So the funny part about the Human Spatula, though, is that I Googled it to see
what... It's the name of a superhero.
Yeah, well, no, it's the name of a band. No, not really. if you Google Human Spatula, what comes up is a website and they sell silicon spatulas in the shape of people.
Okay, that's better than what I expected you were going to say.
So the Human Spatula is not a superhero, you know, like the Human Torch.
I don't know. Just the fact that somebody thought of that, it's kind of funny. Anyway. Hey, let's get back on track here. Today we have some fun stuff lined up for y'all.
We do.
I hope we do, because I hope you all do.
I got this covered. Don't worry.
Well, I want to mention a couple of housekeeping things first. I want to throw out a couple of congratulations. I'll throw out congratulations to Seth for making it through finals.
Well, gee, just blew like half of my section that
if
I was going
to talk
about.
Half of your section was that you finished finals, then you didn't have that much to talk about. We'll get back to that in a minute, Seth. You can talk about that. Our other congratulations goes to our friend of the podcast, Chad McNulty.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You may remember Chad was on a episode, two episodes ago?
Did we confirm that he's actually our number one fan? Is that why we're congratulating
Congratulations,
him?
Chad. You are our number one fan.
And we now have a future number two fan.
Okay. That's a weird way of putting it, but yeah. We do. His name is Kipton, and he was born on Wednesday evening to Chad and Jordan. And I think we heard something about 7 pounds, something ounces?
Yeah, it was a pretty small baby, actually.
Not nearly as big as Chad.
Yeah.
Actually, 7 pounds is a pretty decent-sized baby.
I suppose so.
Especially when you consider, like, if it's...
It looks smaller in the picture.
A Chad-sized baby would be a lot bigger.
I guess
maybe
it's just Chad holding the baby. His hands were, like, bigger than the baby was.
Yeah. Chad, just heads up, because I know you're listening. We want less pictures of you at the hospital and more pictures of the baby. Okay. moving on. Oh, and shout-out to Giovanni. Sanders, he told us that he listened to an episode.
All right, cool.
So thank you, Chad, for helping us get him on board. And let's see, I guess that's anything y'all want to shout out? Any congratulations?
No, but I do have a couple of announcements.
Okay.
My first announcement is this upcoming Saturday, or perhaps next Saturday if you're watching the live stream, May the 20th, I will be at the main library in downtown Little Rock participating in Cal's Con, and we'll be with the Arclug group displaying Lego City and a bunch of cool stuff.
I will probably also be there, but I'll be playing board games and having fun.
He'll actually be having fun.
Do y'all have any cosplay?
I could go as Keen, but I'm probably not going to.
Oh.
I might. You never know.
Seth, you could be the Human Spatula.
Like the Human palette. That's right. Remember?
Palette Man.
Or
Palette Ranger.
Yeah, Palette Ranger.
Yeah, that's
Throwback.
Right. Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, that's okay. It just means that you haven't heard one of our older episodes. All right. Hey, so that's some exciting things that we've been doing this week. We'll get more into what else we've been doing, because Seth apparently has had a very exciting week and day. But before we do that, I want to mention some exciting news that happened this week. Probably the biggest story of the week,
I don't know if y'all saw this. You probably did. If you didn't, then this is probably going to blow your minds.
Raccoons eat dog food?
No, do they really?
I don't know, I assume, but...
No, that wasn't the news I was thinking about, but that is pretty important. No, the big news that came out this week is we have a new most retweeted tweet of all time. Did y'all hear about this?
No.
No?
You haven't heard anything about this?
I have not.
All right. So the record was previously held by a tweet by Ellen DeGeneres from the 2014 Oscars. That's kind of boring, isn't it?
Yeah.
But now, this week, we have a new record. It beat it, and with currently almost 3.6 million retweets, it is the tweet by a teenager named Carter Wilkinson from Reno, Nevada. Nevada? How do you say it?
Nevada.
We'll call it Nevada. Carter Wilkinson tweeted back a little while ago, "Please help me. A man needs his nugs."
What does that mean?
Well, you want to guess?
No.
Okay, so this teenager named Carter had tweeted to Wendy's. Wendy's said, he said, "How many retweets for free nuggets?" And Wendy's replied, 18 million. And so he said, "Consider it done." And he started getting people to retweet his tweet.
And how many was he up to?
I just checked before the show, and he's almost up to 3.6 million retweets.
Hey, still has a way to go.
He's got a ways to go, but I mean, that ought to
But in the process, he beat Ellen DeGeneres and now has the single most retweeted tweet of all times is about chicken nuggets.
How about that?
You'll see him, you know, in the next year or so. He'll be on a Wendy's commercial as the new spokesperson.
Oh, he probably will.
Have you read any of the Wendy's Twitter messages?
Not really.
Because the Wendy's Twitter replies are kind of like brutal. They're just trolling the other companies.
Yeah. Well, in this case, they got a lot of free advertising. Yeah. They got 3.6 million retweets of free advertising.
Basically,
so.
Wendy's Twitter account is just like a troll that just trolls people. So it's not surprising that they would reply that way to the guy.
18 million. Yeah, he's still got a ways to go, but I think the point is they're already
I think
giving
that,
him
yeah,
everything
he may
he
have
wants.
Actually bested Wendy's in this.
I probably never thought he was going to get that many.
No, they probably didn't.
So I'm pretty sure that they're already rewarding him with all sorts of stuff and giving him money to give to charity.
I'm just
going to
give
a
brief sound advice to this kid.
Oh,
be aware. I know it's early. You know, be leery. Wendy's may demonetize you at any point.
Demonetize him? You mean that they may take away his chicken nuggets?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You never know. He might say something that offends Wendy's and...
Yeah, you can't have...
Okay, back to episode ball back. Okay.
You never know. Chicken nuggets aren't secure, you know?
So, in other social media news, I know that Caleb won't have noticed this, but have you noticed, Seth, that they added a new reaction on Facebook?
No, I haven't.
I noticed today when I went to click on it that there was now a thankful option.
What does that mean?
I guess...
I know what it means. Under what circumstance would you use it?
It's a flower, which is, I think, even more weird. And I was really confused until somebody said, I think it's a thing for Mother's Day.
Okay, so you can.
I'm thankful for
you
your
can give
mother,
your
my
mom
mother
flowers by saying I'm thankful on her post or something.
Okay, well, that'd be pretty much the lamest Mother's Day gift ever.
Really
would. Isn't it better than the one we have?
Right. Well, that's true. Where can we get these flowers?
I don't know. I was just really confused by that until somebody mentioned Mother's Day. So I'm hoping it's just a temporary thing because I just feel like flowers is like the worst representation for this little icon for thankful to me. I don't just see flowers and go, oh, wow, that person is thankful. Maybe that's just me.
I don't know.
I really wish that they would add a confused reaction because that's the one I have most of the time.
Okay, so I'm not really on Facebook. Where are you using these reactions?
Okay, so like Facebook has always had a like button, you know, so that you could
like
a post.
A thumb
which
up sort of
like. I still don't really know. We don't really know what that's for, but I mean, you know.
Yeah. It says, I acknowledge your post existed. It doesn't even mean you read it.
In which there's other, I'll leave Twitter out of this. But anyway, that everybody has always said, well, we want a dislike button so that we can, because we don't always want to like something because sometimes things are bad. And everybody, the counter argument, well, that's bad because then people just kind of troll stuff and just dislike posts. So rather than having a dislike button that could be obviously abused, Facebook decided to make like a reaction where you have just like a whole bunch of different emojis that kind of like say how you're feeling. Like this makes you happy. This makes you sad. This makes you angry. So I'm just sad that there's not one that you can react with that says you're confused, because I have that feeling
so
a lot.
What kind of icon or emoji would be best for a confused reaction?
Just the confused face.
Yeah, just like a little
a confused emoji.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Like with yeah. Okay, cool.
This has been Emojis with Noah.
Speaking of emojis, Seth, you're like the emoji police.
I am.
Yeah, you were getting on to Corey for his use of emojis.
Oh yeah, that is true.
That's a story for another time.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a story for off the air, possibly.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. There's your social
Corey
media
mention of the week.
Yeah, well, that's not what I was going for, but yeah, there's your Corey mention. I was just saying that's your social media news for the week. I hope you've enjoyed it. What y'all guys been doing? What's up? What's new? By the way, did I mention my nickname for this week?
No.
My nickname for this week is Fairbeat.
What?
Huh?
Fairbeat.
Fairbeat, as in like you're easy to beat?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I thought it was
we beat him fair and square.
I think it's a good name because it's both a spoonerism for bare feet, Fairbeat, and it describes me. I got bare feet and I've kind of got a fair beat about me.
Okay then.
Kind of like
better than the human
kinda
spatula.
Like the way, kind of like the way the human spatula has fit Seth, you know? All right. What you guys been doing? Anything new, Noah? What's been going on in your world?
Nothing I can think of. Did I do anything this weekend?
We played board games at
the
library.
Yeah, we went to the library and played board games. That's not really news, but, you know.
Did you win? Like we're going to do that this weekend and then the next weekend, so I guess.
You know, I don't think I ever played a game that you can win.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Would you, like, cooperative games? Or?
Yeah. We
mm-hmm. played a game for, like, 3 hours before I even got there.
Yeah, that game. I'm not a big fan of games that are like that.
Yeah,
we did play.
Noah only likes games that he could beat everybody else.
Yeah, those are my kind of.
And they don't
games.
Take 3 hours to get a quarter of the way into it.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of long games either. I do like, there's a game, and I forget what it's called, but it's a game where you like, you kind of like think of Snake Oil, where you got a hand of cards or apples to apples. And you pick two of them and you put them together, and it's like a versus game where you have your hand, whatever you put down, and whatever they put down, and then we vote on which one would win in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
So that you could have Chuck Norris versus a dinosaur, which one wins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to throw somebody out for consideration. Chuck Connors, who is Lucas McCain in The Rifleman. We were watching that the other day while waiting in the waiting room. That guy was a beast. I would take Lucas McCain over just about anybody. Look up Chuck Connors, guys. This guy was amazing. The Rifleman. Anyway, sorry. If we were playing that game, my money would be on Chuck Connors.
Anyway, that was, you could kind of win that game, but not really. It's just an icebreaker game. So it's a fun game, though.
Yeah.
I think the rules need a little bit of tweaking to be more fun, though. The rules as we were playing them were just a little too boring for my taste.
Just a little too boring for my taste. Like, you're a connoisseur of enjoyment. Yes. Oh, it needs a little more...
More along the lines of...
A little more pizzazz. Just a pinch of pizzazz.
There's not enough... The voting mechanism and stuff just needs to be tweaked a little bit to make it more...
What was the name of this?
I can't remember. It's Super Versus or Super something.
Somebody will figure it out. Hey, if you know the name of this game, send us... Anyway, no, really, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/HardwickPodcast and also check us out on HardwickPodcast.com. Seth was adding some new stuff to the website.
Oh, yeah, I was.
It's kind of a work in progress.
It's not up yet. It is up, but it's not up.
Some kind of bio-type stuff going to go up on the website hopefully soon?
Hopefully. So be checking that out sometime in the near future.
Hey, I'm out of school now, so I have time to work on stuff.
Hey, that's a good segue.
Oh, you're right. It is.
In super fight.
Super fights.
Yeah.
Okay.
Super fight.
There you go. So somebody can who's listening can now go post that on our Facebook page. All right. So we're going to insert segue music right here.
Segue music.
Segue.
Segue music.
Segue. All right. You know, I might make a new segue music out of that. Anyway. So, Seth, that was a good transition into the fact that you, you're out of school.
That is right. I am out of school, and not just like, you know, it's the weekend, but no, I took my final.
Your final.
For now, final.
For now.
At least, final.
Okay. So, how school's over?
Yep.
Good.
Did you graduate?
I haven't gotten my diploma yet, but I didn't fail any classes, so I'm going to assume so.
Did you turn in an application for graduation?
I did.
Good for you and your advisor.
My advisor.
Did your advisor turn it in?
No, I turned it in.
Really?
Yeah.
See, my advisor turned mine in for me.
I just went over to the student affairs office and said, hey, what form do I need to fill out to graduate?
Well,
said,
I'm pretty sure when I did it, I had to meet with my advisor to apply for graduation.
I asked them, said, hey, is there anything else I need to do? And they said, nope.
Okay.
So I left.
Hey, that's great.
So if they don't graduate me, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah, I would be too. But you can always just do it again next semester and not have to even take any classes.
That's initiative to make yourself graduate.
Yeah. So your diploma, I think I had to wait about 6 months for mine to show up.
Really?
Yep.
That's
for real. It was probably on into the next fall before I got it.
In my 2 years at College of the Washington, I don't think I ever met my advisor.
Really?
Every time I would go by the office, she wasn't there.
Several times. She was very nice. I'm trying to think of her name. She probably still works there. Lisa something. She was a biology professor.
That might have been mine. I don't know for sure.
I forget her name off the top. It was Lisa something, but she was very good. She always, what I liked about her is she knew that I was a diligent student and she didn't have to worry about me. So she would just be like, all right, you got everything worked out? And I said, yep. Okay, here you go. And that was pretty much all we ever did at our meetings. I know she doesn't do that with some students because others would meet with her and she'd have to go through everything, but she trusted me and I appreciate it.
I think that was about the way mine went. I just emailed her and said, hey, here's the classes I want to take and here's the schedule. Could you please enter it for me or unlock it? And she's like, sure, here you go.
Yeah, I did that 1 year because I kind of waited until June to register for my next semester's classes.
Yeah.
And my advisor was no longer on campus, so... Yeah, I just emailed him and said, hey, these are what I'm going to take next semester. And yeah,
I looked it up. It was Lisa Irwin, if that means anything. She may still be on campus.
Right. I know that name. I remember her as a biology teacher.
She was a biology teacher.
I don't think that was my advisor.
Anyway, so Seth, now that you graduated, you're probably not going to graduation, are you?
No.
Yeah, we didn't go to graduations either, so...
If you'd like to throw Seth a graduation party, though, contact the Hardwick podcast page.
If you want to send Seth a graduation present.
Yeah, I'll even give you the address on our Hardwick page after you send us a message.
P.O. Box 1, okay.
555.
Yeah, no, don't send anything there. Those people get too much stuff already. They already get plenty of junk mail. It's okay.
What is the origin of 5 being a number that doesn't actually go to anything?
I don't know. I'm sure it was probably a Hollywood.
Please send that to our P.O. box.
Yeah. Yeah, if you know the answer, no. Yeah.
So going back to finals, though, in college, I'm just a little bit mad at my world lit instructor.
Yeah,
because I ended up with a B in his class, and I was 0.58% away from having an A in his class.
0.58%.
Less than 0.6%.
So you had 89.4 in that class.
Technically, no, because I had...
It would round up.
Because if you get an 89.5... he would round it up to 90.
So you were literally like a tenth of a percent away from getting an A?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't like this guy.
I sent him a message and he hasn't responded yet, so I kind of doubt he will, but maybe.
That's ridiculous. I showed up to every single day of class, even the 2 days that he missed.
Hey, what if we all? What if we got all our listeners to all send a mail to saying, give Seth an A? Would that be enough?
No, but I'm not going to recommend anyone take his class because he told everyone, hey, if you've liked me this semester, tell people to come take my class.
Or you know what you could do? You could go on, you could blackmail him and tell him you'll give him a bad rating on ratemyprofessor.com. Actually,
is that still popular?
That's probably not a good idea.
No.
Because those things were almost dead when I was in college, so I wasn't sure if people still
know.
Did that or not.
I kind of think it's not a bad idea.
No, I agree. I was just like...
It's kind of a free market accountability.
I would look at it when I was in college, but like none of the... Like all the sites were almost defunct by the time I was out of college, so I wasn't sure if there were still sites that were doing that or not, or if they all basically sued out of existence.
What I figured out about like the Rate My Professor things was they were strictly rated on how easy they were.
Yeah.
Like this guy he's horrible. Well, he's not horrible. He's just strict
hard.
And he's got a rigorous course and he may be a great professor. And then somebody who's easy, but literally covers almost none of the material you need to, you know to take the final. They're probably going to have a good rating. And that bugged me. So yeah. Professors, what are you going to do with them? So anyway, Seth, what else you been doing?
Oh, let's see. I went kayaking on the Saline River.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've ever done that outside of that one time we went up there when it was like really dry and we couldn't go anywhere.
That's right. Yeah.
So that was fun. And I actually floated from, you know, downstream. I didn't actually just sit in the pool and paddle. Let's see. Since I'm out of school, I went and worked at the fire department today or this past Friday, as it may be. Yeah, that day turned out completely different than what I expected.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I noticed that you were not at the fire station in your pictures. Yeah.
No, I wasn't.
I was like, where's Seth at? And then I'm like, that's not the fire station.
So I'll back up the story a little bit. Mama came home from getting some barbecue sandwiches, and she was going to take Seth some barbecue sandwiches.
Oh, yeah. Is there any of that left?
Yes, there is. She went down to the fire station, and nobody was there. So she came back here, and I said, oh, I think Seth is down at the school. And so we both hopped in the car with some barbecue sandwiches to take it down to Seth. And I jumped out of the car, bare feet.
You looked like you had been in swimming or something.
Yeah, I wasn't exactly.
You're barefoot. You're in like shorts. And
some of the kids were looking at me.
Who's this homeless guy?
Yeah. So there was a group of kids that were standing around the fire truck. And
second graders.
Second graders. And Seth was pointing out all sorts of cool stuff on the fire truck. And that's where I picked up in the story. But a bunch of kids staring at me because I didn't have any shoes on, holding a couple barbecue sandwiches.
So how was that backstory when he jumped in the middle?
I don't know. It's just I thought that's the story from my perspective.
Okay. Well, anyway, I went to the fire station this morning to work, and apparently no one told anyone about this, but we get a message from the chief and says, hey, you're supposed to go over to the school for Earth Day and take the engine over there and, you know, show it to the kids and stuff at school for Earth Day. So we went over there and did that. And that's pretty much where I spent my entire day.
So is that why no one signed up for that day?
Maybe so. Word didn't get passed along to everyone else, apparently. At least,
right.
At least not the two of us that were working.
They're like, makes them do it.
Yeah.
But no. You seem to kind of be enjoying it when I pulled up.
I was getting to hang out with kids. It's fun. But here's the thing, though. When you showed up, that was the only class all day that actually was interested in asking questions.
Yeah, they were asking good questions.
And they were.
They were like, hey, what's that? That's a clamp. What's that? That's a bolt on the fire truck. What's that? That's a piece of tape that's stuck to the side of the truck.
So this brings me into a good thing I wanted to talk about. I have a list of a few different quotes that kids said today.
Alrighty.
And so I don't know where this is going to go, but hey, I'll read some and see if you think they're funny. I thought they were funny at the time, at least. So one of the first things that one of the kids told me or asked me was, did you learn to cook at the fire station?
Well, when you're a kid and your perception of what a fireman does is they hang out at the fire station, cook and play ping pong, and then they go help cats get out of trees.
Wasn't that like half the plots on Emergency was them trying to cook stuff?
Yes, you know, it was.
It was like the subplot to most of the episodes. Yeah. So what was your answer?
I said, I learned to cook before I became a fireman, which is partially a lie, but
well, you know.
It's your story. Tell it however you want.
Okay, this next one came from the partner who was with me working. He would ask everyone a joke every time they came up, a question. And his question, or one of his questions, was, why do firemen wear rubber boots?
I don't know. Why do they wear rubber boots?
Well, one of the kids, well, I'll tell you what the answer is. It's to keep the water off your feet.
I get it now.
Yeah, okay. It was a bad joke. Okay.
It does sound like the sort of joke I would tell.
I didn't say who I was working with.
Oh.
Don't worry.
We'll
we're going to
bleep that.
We'll bleep that. All right. But no, this is what was great. It's the kids, you know, they gave all the normal answers. Oh, to protect your feet from the fire, or, you know, so you don't step on something. And then this one kid said, to keep your socks up.
Well, the kid knows what he's talking about.
Okay. Okay, so this one here wasn't even the group that was with us. It was a group of middle schoolers. Okay, so you know this is going to be bad to begin with. They were just walking by. They were going past us, going to the gym to do whatever. And one of the kids in the back was kind of whispering to the other kid, but we could kind of, you know, it was outside. We could hear what he was saying. And he says, I'm going to hijack the fire truck. Okay. Now, this is what, this isn't really what's funny. He's walking off and my coworker went over to the engine and he blew the horn on it. And the kid jumped, well, to use the sock expression, he jumped out of his socks.
Because his rubber boots weren't holding him up.
Apparently not. They weren't holding his socks up very good.
Yep.
It was just kind of one of those funny things. Yeah. He was talking about, I'm going to get the fire truck, and then we scare him.
A little bit of humorous payback there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And okay, that's really pretty much all I got.
No more funny kid quotes?
Oh, there were lots of other ones, but I can't remember what they were because I didn't write them down.
I do think it was funny that when we pulled up, the thing the kid was asking, of all the awesome things on the fire truck, he goes, what's that? And the person you're working with goes, well, that's a hose clamp. Like, of all the things to wonder what it is, why a hose clamp?
Anyway. And for those of you who don't know what a hose clamp is, well, it's exactly what it says. It clamps a hose off so that the water stops flowing through it.
Yeah. Well, you know. You
gotta... Hey, it looks really cool and impressive.
I guess so.
It doesn't do much.
Yeah.
It's impressive. Mm.
Yeah. All right. So that was Seth's exciting day. Let's take a quick break and hear a word from this week's sponsor.
Hi, this is Fred for Flame Buoyant Fire Equipment Co. We're excited to introduce two new products into our family of industry-leading fire equipment. First, our 0437C steel hose clamp, or as we call it in the fire business, the drip nipper. Now shinier and more obsolete than ever, but still guaranteed to impress even the most disinterested school children, according to NFPA standards. And now, because we know that nothing is more troublesome during a blazing fire than having loose socks, we're also releasing our new ProTec series of patented designer-grade flamboyant rubber boots. Able to withstand temperatures up to 300 kelvins and stop even the laziest of socks from slumping to your ankles. And don't forget to check out the rest of our line of ping pong paddles and cat nets. Thanks for your time.
So we can start moving into our final segment of the show here.
I have one more announcement to make.
All right, make your final announcement.
Our lovely mother, Ms. Carla, has been working tirelessly for the last, or perhaps tired, last number of weeks.
So she's not working tirelessly, she's working tiredly.
Perhaps.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit of both.
Okay.
Maybe the first one leads to the second, I don't know. To gather a bunch of old school books together and basically host a book sale on May the 18th and May the 19th. That's a Thursday and a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be at our house. You can contact us on our Facebook page if you want to know where that's at. And from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. So come out and buy some books.
please, we need to get rid of some books. We got great school material stuff, mostly, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So,
the kid-friendly material.
Yeah, mostly.
So, we'll even autograph the books if you want.
We didn't write any of them, but
so that leaves us with a question that our lovely mother asked.
Okay.
And it was, what books do you remember reading as a kid?
What books do I remember? Like, as that's a hard question, because is that like about...
That's the, presuming we read books.
Well, that's a hard question, because, you know, there weren't that many, but... I mean, I read... My very first book was Go, Dog, Go. That's a Dr. Seuss book.
For me, most of the books that I remember reading, and I didn't really read them that much, mostly looked at the pictures, were all the Curious George books.
Yeah, we read a lot of Curious George.
Seth did.
Or Spectacular Seth books, as we sometimes called them. We just replaced the words Curious George with the word Spectacular Seth.
It's true.
Hey,
this is actually very true.
Yeah, okay.
The Spectacular Spatula.
The Spectacular Human Spatula. Sure. But yeah, you know, it's funny, as we go through all the school books that we have for the sale, I remember like, oh, I remember reading this, and I remember reading that, and I remember reading this and that. Y'all probably don't have that shared experience, do you?
No.
No, I didn't read most of mine.
I guess I read more, I don't know. But I read quite a few of those, and some of them I enjoyed, and a lot of them I hated. Because, I mean, when you're forced to read something, it's kind of tough, so...
I remember reading Hank the Cowdog, The Sugar Creek Gang, and Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah. I didn't really read The Sugar Creek Gang that much, but...
Oh, I also remember reading the Laura Ingalls Wilder, the sure. Little House on the Prairie books.
And Lewis Sacker and Holes and good stuff like that. I was talking to somebody on Wednesday night who was talking to me about Holes, so cool.
Will there be a spot to sell all my textbooks at this book sale?
I dumped some of my old textbooks out there, so I guess you can put yours out there too. But if you really want to sell textbooks, then you sell them online or...
I already tried.
You couldn't sell the ones that are just too cheap?
They're like a penny.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they were selling.
It's amazing how expensive some textbooks are, and yet other textbooks that are just like one edition out of date are like worthless.
So what can you do with old textbooks if... They have
you
no
can
value.
Read them and you learn about like the subjects.
Burn them when the power goes out and you need fuel. Or
sure, whenever you need to know about.
It's cheaper than
molecular biology for some reason or whatever. So anyway, but yeah, we have lots of textbooks that you definitely should read.
Oh yes.
But on top of that, just very fun, good educational, silly, fun books. So come out, buy our books, give us some money so. We can
pay our bills.
We can continue to pay for podcasting.
Yes, podcasting. That's what I meant.
Yeah,
and, podcasting bills.
Yeah. So we don't get paid for this. So if you want to start paying us to do this, you know,
surprising how many sponsors we have, but they never actually pay us.
We're not very good at the financial collecting.
Hey, if you want to become our marketing director and can work on actually collecting all this stuff, maybe we should make them provide money up front. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe we will.
Stop doing sales that are, you know, by commission.
So,
however many references they get from us.
For our final segment of the show, I want to take this a little bit different direction than we normally do.
What?
Normally, this is still the same segment of the show. This is Sound Advice, our final segment of the show. But normally what we do is we kind of just ask each other, what's a piece of life advice you can give to our listeners this week? But this week, I'm going to take it a little bit different. I'm going to poise you with a question, and I want you to give me your sound advice for this question. Okay?
I feel like this is a setup.
It's not really. Here's the thing I want to know, because I've had this problem a couple of times over the past couple of weeks. When you're walking down a hallway or something, and somebody steps
when
in front of you,
you're walking down the street,
and everybody that you meet get along with each other. Or as I thought it was.
I thought it was Arthur, too.
I always thought it was get along with each Arthur. Anyway, suppose you
get along with Buster.
Suppose, yeah. Well, you could get along with Buster. Okay. suppose you're walking and somebody steps in front of you and you move to one side, you know, and then they move to the same side and you try to correct and go the other way and they do too, and you're just kind of going back and forth until you don't know what to do and it's all awkward. I've had this happen to me a couple
times.
There's
a technical term for that. Do you know what it is?
I do not.
Seth, look that up, please.
Seth, our resident researcher. Figure out what that is. Now, my question then is, give us your best advice. What is your strategy? How do you overcome this awkward situation? Noah?
You just keep going back and forth until eventually you get past them.
Okay.
And then you don't look back because you're embarrassed.
Okay, so
just walk away from it like it was a cool explosion.
But you're saying you keep moving until somebody finally gives up moving.
Yeah.
So is it better to be the person who just keeps moving or the person who just stands there and lets the other person keep moving? Which one?
Well, the way I figure it is you should always move to your right because you always pass on the right.
Is that true?
Well, that's how we do roads. So I think it's the same way if you're... I think anybody that drives realizes that you always pass on the right. So if everybody just steps to the right, then the problem's resolved.
Okay, so your strategy is you always go to the right. Now, if the other person went to their left, then you'd both still be standing in front of each other.
Well, then you wait for them to go back to the right because they're in the wrong.
Okay, so you're saying step one, move to your right. Step two, don't move back to your left.
Correct.
Okay. Seth, have you found it?
I have not found it yet.
Okay.
But I do have an answer to your question.
Okay.
My answer is very simple. Use the principle of when you meet an emergency vehicle.
Okay.
You pull to the right and you stop.
Okay. So basically exactly what Noah said.
Oh, is that what he said? I was
researching. Yeah. First step one, move to the right. Step two, wait for the other person to move. You stay there.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty... that's surprisingly similar to what Noah
said.
Okay,
fine. If that's what Noah said, I'll change my answer. pull to the left and stop.
No, that's a bad idea.
Okay. Yeah. How about just plow right through them?
Yeah. Well, it's another...
Okay, what you need to do...
It's a road analogy. The bigger truck wins.
What you need to do is you need to get you a snow plow...
A people plow.
A cattle guard off of an old steam engine.
And just walk in front of it or behind it all the time.
And put a shoulder, strap on it and then just walk with it in front of you the whole time.
Oh. Okay, then. This has been Sound Advice with Noah and Seth. And basically, I think my suggestion would be just don't move. Just let the other person figure it out. Okay? Okay. Listen up, folks. Here's your homework. Find out what that thing is called when somebody's standing in front of you and you move and they step back. Wait, and it's all awkward.
Did Caleb have an answer to this?
Yeah, mine was just, kind of just stay there and let the other person figure it out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So just put all the responsibility on the other person.
Yep. Deny the responsibility and then blame it on them. That's my advice. That's my advice for car accidents, too. Anyway, not that I've had any of those. But anyway, thank you everybody for listening. Any final words or comments?
Oh, I do have some other advice.
Okay.
If it's raining outside, make sure you have dry socks in your car because I hate when you get your socks wet.
How bad
did socks flood?
It was bad. There's a Canadian word for that.
Dry socks?
No, for when you get your socks wet. It's like a soaker or something like that. So if you're in Canada and you say, "Boy, I got me a soaker today," and that means they have wet socks because they stepped in a puddle or something.
It's a terrible,
sounds like something
terrible
a Canadian would do.
Way to spend your day.
It really is. Some of the most miserable days I've ever had were days in which my socks were wet.
It's like you can deal with some things being wet, but wet socks are just awful.
One time when I was working at Camp Perrin, my socks got wet, and I went and I put them in the dryer and went barefoot until my socks got dry. and then I put them back on. But
I have a last final word of advice.
All right, Seth's final word of the day.
If it's raining outside or if the roads are wet, remember to turn off the Jake brake.
Okay. What happens if you don't?
I don't know. That's just what I've always been told.
Cool. Yeah. So if you have Jake brakes, that's pretty cool. If you do, please don't use them in the rain. All right. Thanks to you, everybody, for listening. This has been episode number 32 of Hardwick Sound. My name is Caleb Fairbeat Hardwick. And I'd like to say so long and farewell.
This is Seth Hardwick, graduate of CODO.
This is Life Quacker signing off.
And remember, folks, stay safe and don't be stupid. See you later, everybody. Thanks for listening. Check us out on the internet. So long. Bye. Thank you.